From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues a series of studies in the book of Acts as he concludes a message entitled Peter's Pentecost. Dr. Cairns will be with us shortly. First, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought taken from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, God is in the Front Line. The text is found in Deuteronomy 31 and verse 8. The Lord, He it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. In the presence of a great work or a great warfare, here is a text which should help us to buckle on our harness. If Jehovah himself goes before us, it must be safe to follow. Who can obstruct our progress if the Lord himself is in the van? Come, brother soldiers, let us make a prompt advance. Why do we hesitate to pass on to victory? Nor is the Lord before us only. He is with us above, beneath, around, within is the omnipotent, omnipresent One. In all time, even to eternity, He will be with us even as He has been. How this should nerve our arm! Dash at it boldly, ye soldiers of the cross, for the Lord of hosts is with us. Being before us and with us, He will never withdraw His help. He cannot fail in Himself, and He will not fail toward us. He will continue to help us according to our need, even to the end. As He cannot fail us, so He will not forsake us. He will always be both able and willing to grant us strength and succor till fighting days are gone. Let us not fear nor be dismayed, for the Lord of hosts will go down to the battle with us, will bear the brunt of the fight, and give us the victory. Among the great classics of Christian literature, A.W. Tozer's The Pursuit of God is remarkable for its impact on the lives of countless believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. The product of a lifelong passion for knowing God in an intimate, soul-refreshing relationship, this small volume exposes the roadblocks that keep us from fully knowing God, reveals our responsibility of the pursuit, and ultimately leads us into the very presence of God Himself. Some of the chapter titles include Following Hard After God, Restoring the Creator-Creature Relation, and The Sacrament of Living. As you read and study Tozer's penetrating insights, you will learn the meaning of Paul's words in Philippians 3, verse 10, that I may know Him. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer complete reprints of this timeless devotional help free of charge. For your copy of The Pursuit of God, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you prefer regular mail, simply write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your free copy of The Pursuit of God, and we'll be glad to provide it. As he continues this series of studies in the book of Acts, Dr. Cairns is dealing with Peter's sermon on the day of Pentecost. The passage forms the prototype of all New Testament soul-winning preaching. Peter's preaching was personal. It was delivered in language that was easily understood. The preaching was full of Christ. It was doctrinal, scriptural preaching. It dealt honestly with men, showing them their sin. It was powerful preaching, blessed by the Holy Spirit. The content of the preaching was Christ, the only Savior of sinners. At its conclusion, men knew that they had to act on what they had heard. Now to conclude this message called Peter's Pentecost, here is Dr. Cairns.
You can have all these characteristics. You can have personal preaching, preaching that's easily understood, preaching that exalts Christ, and preaching that's doctrinal and scriptural and seeks to be faithful. My friend, without the visitation of the Holy Ghost, there be no power. That's what made this sermon altogether different from so many other sermons. The Holy Ghost came down upon the preached word. And I think that we have got to come back to square one. We have got to realize our urgent, desperate need of the visitation of the Holy Ghost. My, how humbling it is to this preacher and every other preacher to realize when I have prepared as best I can, when I have prayed as faithfully as I know how, when I have preached with all the passion and honesty of which I am capable, at the end of the day, without the Holy Ghost and His power, it'll all fail. Oh, may God give us powerful preaching. Not the power of human oratory, not the power of human argument, not the power of human ability, but the human, or the human power taken up into the divine and enveloped in the grace and fullness of the Spirit. Every human talent taken up to be used by God. Ah, that's what we want. May the Lord anoint this preacher in this coming gospel campaign. May the Lord anoint us to pray and to witness wherever we go, that there may be power. We haven't time to expound the contents of this first sermon. Matter of the sermons in this pulpit and the subject matter of the witness of your heart. Verse 22, you will see the great theme is the approval of Christ. The emphasis here is on Christ's person. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Back in the ministry of Christ, you'll find in John 5, 31 to 41, John 8, verse 18, and again in the 54th verse, you'll find the emphasis upon the Father's approval of Christ. Showing who he was. Nicodemus put it well in John 3 and verse 2. He said, no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. There is the approval of Christ. Now, I haven't time to go in to show how the signs, wonders, and miracles evidence the divine person of Jesus Christ. But what Peter is establishing here is that the man Christ Jesus, Jesus of Nazareth, is approved of God as Lord and Christ. Now verse 23 speaks of the appointment of Christ. And the emphasis here is on the purpose of God. He was delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. God's purpose in appointing Jesus Christ before the worlds ever began to be the crucified Savior of sinners. Appointed of God. Romans 3:25 speaks of Christ, whom God hath set forth, whom God hath appointed to be the propitiation through faith in his blood. God has set him forth. Hebrews 10:5-9 speak of the same thing, of the eternal appointment of the Son of God. This is what thrilled Peter's heart. 1 Peter 1, he was speaking of the blood of Christ, who was the Lamb without blemish, who verily was foreordained before the beginning of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you who do by him believe. Thank God for his appointment. I want you to notice what we have already stressed, that this divine sovereignty in no wise limits human responsibility. These two great doctrinal planks must ever be maintained. Then you will notice from verse 24 through to 36, the authentication of Christ. The emphasis here is on the proof of his person and of his work. The appeal is to the word of God, because the word is what proves Christ. Acts 10:43, to him give all the prophets witness. You've got a host of other scriptures which time doesn't allow us to go into this morning. I want you simply to get the drift of the argument here in those 12 verses, 24 to 36. The emphasis proving Christ's person and work. The Old Testament prophesied the resurrection of the Messiah. Now that's what Peter's setting out to show. Now he says, Christ Jesus has risen from the dead. And that proves that he is the fulfillment of all the Old Testament prophecies. That's the great argument. The authentication of Jesus Christ. Now, this morning, I want us just to gather those things together. This is the content of true preaching. This is the content of true witnessing. The person of Jesus Christ. Do you know what's amazing? It's amazing that there are few sermons today on the deity of Jesus Christ. There are not many Christians that can take you through the Bible and can establish the deity of Jesus Christ. There are not many Christians, and sometimes I think not many preachers, who could meet a Jehovah's Witness face to face and answer him from the Word of God. That's a tragedy. The first plank is the person of Jesus Christ. Oh, it is not enough to say we believe in Jesus. It's not enough to say come to Jesus. Every false cult that the devil has spewed onto the earth is preaching much the same thing. And it's their Christ. It's their Jesus. It is not the Jesus of the New Testament. Oh, let's learn the doctrine of the person of Jesus Christ. And of course, there is also the doctrine of his purpose. I feel that in this 20th century we have lost a lot of what our forefathers had in their preaching concerning the purpose of the coming of the Son of God. Today, gospel preaching has degenerated into the simple statement that Jesus Christ died to make salvation possible. Now, I'll challenge any man on God's earth. There's the Bible. Show me once, just once, in all the 66 books of the Bible where Jesus Christ is said to have died to make salvation possible, and I'll believe it. But never once is he said to die to make salvation possible. I don't believe in a Savior who made salvation possible. I believe in a Savior who made salvation actual. He didn't die to open a door merely whereby I might be saved or yet I might be damned. He died to save me. He died as my substitute. He died as my surety. He died as my guarantor. He died in my place. He bore my wrath. He took my curse. He justified me in his death. He sanctified me in his death. He glorified me in his death. He guaranteed my entrance into heaven in his death. That is the gospel. That is the gospel. Oh, my friend, if we lose the very purpose of Jesus Christ, what have we lost? If we jettison the very reason for his coming, in God's name, what are we giving up? Dare we take man's philosophy and put a base possibility in the place of the mighty reality of the cross work of Jesus Christ? Dare we do that? Oh, I feel that we would need to get back to that tremendous purpose. God has a purpose in the death of Jesus Christ. God from all eternity had a determinate counsel, a counsel which determines. Words mean anything, that's the meaning of that phrase. A counsel which determines. That's what he had in the death of Jesus Christ. I believe that every seat in heaven will be taken. Around the tables when the marriage supper of the Lamb is spread, every seat will be taken. There'll not be a harp without a harper. There'll not be a throne without an occupant. Thank God, there'll not be a house, palace in glory without a resident. I believe in a successful Christ. I believe he died with God's purpose in view, and he perfectly has succeeded in that purpose. And let's get back to preaching the resurrection. Oh, I think that even in our daily lives, we have so little joy in the resurrection of Christ, so little thrill. Oh, we believe it. Or do we? My father is not highly educated. Oh, I must say, he has taught himself in his lifetime much more than most educated people have ever learned. Great student. But after he retired, he belonged to the group known as the Plymouth Brethren, and so after he retired, the biggest Brethren Hall in Belfast needed someone to come and be their caretaker, look after it, and he said, well, it'll keep me active and I'll go and do it. So he took on the job, went to that hall. Now in that place, they had some of the most learned Christians in the city. A young lad who went to the same school as I did, I can claim a little bit of his glory. I suppose in his age group, one of the two greatest geniuses in the whole country. The both of them were in the same class at the same time. Today, a nuclear physicist, a very highly qualified young man, saved. It's good to see mightily intelligent people like that saved and humble believers. There were others, doctors of this and doctors of that, medical professors, you name them, they were all there. And of course, in their Sunday morning meetings, they would leave the service open and so-and-so would get up and speak and somebody else would get up and speak and somebody else would get up and speak. One morning, somebody spoke on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And one of those very eminent men said to my father afterwards, he said that, no, my father said to him, that was a wonderful message that was spoken this morning on the resurrection of Christ. He said it was. And then he shook his head. He says, although mine sometimes I doubt. Can you imagine it? Now he said, oh, I believe it doctrinally. But he doubted. And I just wonder how many people either have accepted without thinking, or if they were to tell the truth, they really doubt the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Even if they accept it, where's the thrill of it? Where's the burning reality of it? Let me say this to you. If you don't believe in the literal bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ, you're not saved. You could have made whatever decisions you like. You can have committed yourself whatever way you like. You are on the road to a lost hell if you do not believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's a cardinal point of the gospel. My friend, if you believe it, yet it has lost its thrill and its joy and its power. What a tragedy for you. Oh, may God get us back to the content of this preaching. Just a word about its conclusion. How did he finish? Well, if you've ever studied how to preach, you'll learn. It's not always easy to do, mind you, but you'll learn that you should start well. And you should finish well. You're always told, I'm sure, if you ever wrote an essay in school, you're told the most important words are the first words of the first sentence. The most important words in the whole essay. Don't say anything commonplace. Must be nice to be one of these geniuses that can come up with something original, witty, brilliant, deep, searching, every time they open their mouth. I can't do that. But you should start well, and you should finish well. In other words, you should know where you're going when you're preaching, and you should get there. Now, Peter knew where he was going, and he got there. Therefore, here's the great climactic conclusion. Therefore, let all the house of Israel, those are the people he started with, you remember, verse 22, know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. What a ringing affirmation. Therefore, he's back to the final authority of Scripture. He says, God has said this. It ends all argument. Let all the house of Israel know assuredly. He's now dealing with the full certainty of this salvation in Jesus Christ. My, there are no doubtful statements here. There are no clouded issues here. He is preaching with absolute certainty. The certainty of the person of Jesus Christ. If somebody comes and goes from my preaching and they wonder, do I really believe that Jesus Christ is God? They have been listening and they wonder that. I have made an awful mess of that message. If they wonder, do I really believe in the sinlessness of Jesus Christ? Then I have made an awful mistake in that preaching. Oh, my friend, there ought to be no doubt about what we're preaching in Jesus Christ. No doubt about his passion. Oh, that we could be preaching the cross so that there is no doubt in men's minds. Preaching his power in his resurrection. Preaching his position at the right hand of God the Father. Those are the things about which we want men to be absolutely sure. Now, there are many, many other doctrines. many important truths that when people are saved, we will seek to lead them into. But I want you to notice this. These are the things that he says, let all the house of Israel be assured of these things. And they all center in Christ. His person, his passion, his power, his position at the right hand of God as Christ and Savior. Oh, may the Lord help us to preach Christ in his fullness, that all his salvation may know. Let us get out with the message of Christ. Let every Christian get the vision of witnessing a good confession. Let every man and woman go out these next few weeks and really lay hold of souls. You've loved ones. Get them under the sound of the gospel. Give them the gospel. Bring them to the gospel. Surround them with the gospel. Plead with them in the name of Christ. Let every soul go after souls. And as we preach, let the Holy Ghost come down. Thank God, we shall see what God can do in the salvation of precious souls.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.